Now we continue our Bible study on the final part of the Bible. Today we're going to read and study from 1 John chapter 4, from verse 7 to verse 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is a very well-known portion of Scripture. It's a portion of Scripture which is quite challenging as we read it. Because verses like verse 20, for example, is quite a challenge. I don't know how you feel when you hear that if you say that you love God and you don't love your brothers, then you're a liar. No? It's challenging our profession of faith before God and before men. It is also a very rich portion of Scripture. We could have dealt with different subjects. We could have preached different sermons. We could have spoken, for example, of Jesus as the propitiation. Jesus as a sacrifice. All the idea and teaching about the atonement, how God has saved us. We could have preached a sermon on the love of God. All that John says about God's love, the various characteristics and manifestation. But I would like to focus this morning on the aspect of brotherly love. The love that is commanded and required from us, from the church. A love that has to be seen in the church. And in a sense, the whole section from verse 7 to verse 21 is dealing with our responsibility as Christians to love one another. In verse 7, it says, let us love one another. In verse 21, this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So everything that John says between these two sentences is how to love and why we should love and encouragement that he gives us that we might love one another. So the theme is to love one another, brotherly love. And there are four aspects that I would like to consider with you on this matter. First of all, John tells us that it is possible to love one another. It is possible for love to be seen, shown, manifested and the church. Love is not natural. Apart from God's grace, love is difficult to find. And we see this all around us. What is it that characterizes this world? It's selfishness, it's hatred, oppression, abuses. And not just among strangers, even within families, we find problems and lack of love and affection. We see couples splitting. We see family broken. We see children not respecting their parents and parents not showing love to their children. There is no love. Love is difficult. If love was natural for the man, for man, then we would see love everywhere. But we don't. And we are sinful people. So love is not natural for us. Remember that by nature we are the children of the devil, and we do what we have seen from our fathers, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So this is our natural inclination, hatred. But God wants us to love one another, and to encourage to do that, he says, you can do this. And we are able to love one another today because we are born of God. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So John is saying to the believers, now you are called to love one another on the ground that you are able to do it. God is not asking you an impossible task. God is asking you after having enabled you. Before you were from the devil and you did the will of the devil. But now God has done a miracle in you. You are a different creation. You're a new creature. You are born of God. Your DNA is from God and not from the devil anymore. God has given you something that is his. You are born of him. You are a child of God. And as children of someone, we carry within us what belongs to our parents. Now, we have become the children of God. Therefore, we have something of God within us. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he speaks of the life of God in us. The life of God in us. And because we have something of God in us, we're able to love. Why? Because God is love. Love is from God. God is love. And so, as we are born of God, we take from him love. That love wasn't there before. It wasn't within us. But now, because we come from God, we are born of God, we have life from God, we're able to love. Because God has given to us this love. But also John tells us that we have God's Spirit. In verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Again, God has not simply given us something of him. No? We come from him, therefore we have love in us, so we're able to love. More than that, God has given to us to help us in this challenge, his Spirit. Who is God himself? Who is love? So, God the Holy Spirit, who is equal with God the Father and God the Son, who is full of love, and his love now abides in us, has been given to us. And so, God has begun a work in us by giving us life, spiritual life, but God is continuing this work through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to enable us to do what we would never do by ourselves. Think of God in all his power, in all his desires, in all his perfections, abiding in us, given to us. that we might be more like God. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does, the main ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to make us more like Jesus. He's making us more in His likeness. And so as the Holy Spirit ministers and works within us, He makes us more like God, who is love. And this makes possible for us to love one another. Not because we are better than other people, but because of God's grace and God's work in us. It is possible for us to love. But then there is another reason, and that is the love of God. We love because He first loved us. We do what we are taught. As children, we often repeat the same mistakes of our parents. And our children will make the same mistakes, and others probably. Because what we see around us is what we take as an example. It's our pattern. And if we grow in a context of hatred, we will be hateful people. Think, for example, of those children who are often abused in their childhood. We would think that having suffered so much, they would be better people. Sadly, that's not the case. They keep doing to others what they have suffered. But why? Because that's all they know. They know hatred. They know indifference. They know selfishness. And if we don't love God, if we do not know love, we cannot love. Why all around us there is so much hatred? Because what the world sees is hatred. They find that being selfish is convenient. That hurting others for your own advantage is fine. And so this is what the world does, because that's what the world sees. But we as believers, we are different. Yes, we know there is hatred all around us, and there is hatred within us as well. But we have tasted and seen that God is good. We have seen true love. We have experienced real, practical, sacrificial love. And when you know love, it makes it easier to love. When you are loved by people, then it's easier to trust people. When people around you are good, it's easier for us to be good. Now, as God's children, we have experienced perfect love, perfect compassion, perfect mercy, perfect grace. We are surrounded by God's grace and God's love. And this should help us, and will help us, to love the people around us. Why? Because we know true love. We know how wonderful it is to be loved. How encouraging it is. And so we want other people to experience that. So loving one another is possible within the church. It's not, God is not asking something that is out of reach. God is giving us all the abilities, all the help we need for the church to be characterized by love. But secondly, brotherly love is also an imperative. So on one hand, it is possible to love. On the other hand, we must love. So in verse 7, let us love one another. In verse 21, even more strongly, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Must. It's a duty. Loving our brothers and sisters, loving the people in the church, loving the church of Jesus, is not an option. It's not one of the commandments. It is the greatest command. Because failing in loving our brothers and sisters means that we do not love God. John is saying, if you do not love your brothers and sisters, you cannot say that you love God. So you can claim to be a lover of Jesus. You can claim to be a follower of Jesus. If that profession is not confirmed, but your love for the people of God, you are a liar. You are not a real. You are not honest with yourself. In many ways, and you are a hypocrite. Such is the importance of love for God. We often think that our first responsibility as Christians is to read our Bibles, to pray, to go to church, to try to behave. All these things are important, and there is a place for these things in the Christian life. But the most important thing, that our greatest duty before God, is that we love our brothers and sisters. That's our greatest responsibility. The Bible doesn't say if you don't read 3 chapters of the Bible a day, you're not a Christian. The Bible doesn't say if you don't pray half an hour a day, you're not a Christian. But the Bible says if you don't love your brothers and sisters, you are not a Christian. Can you see the comparison? And sometimes the mistake we do as Christians, we focus so much on the outward of Christian religion, on what is seen, and not on the main thing. We focus on the details and not on the heart. Like the Pharisees, remember the rebuke of Jesus to the Pharisees. You're so careful with tithing. You're so careful with your righteousness and keeping the details of the law. And you have forgotten that it's all about mercy. And following the God of Israel is all about mercy and grace. And John is reminding us, your first duty as a Christian, what God is expecting from you as his church, is that you love one another. Why? Because he is God. And God can expect from his church that we love one another because he has enabled us to love one another. He has given us of his spirit. He has given us his love. He has given us to be his children. So we have no excuses. No excuses. We must love our brothers and sisters. It is God's command. It is God's will. But then thirdly, John tells us how to apply this commandment. No? One thing is to say we have to love one another, but how am I going to love one another? How am I going to love my brothers and sisters in the church? All around us, we hear about love, but we see as we study scripture that what the world is saying about love is not what the Bible says about love. It's very different. Love in the world is often a feeling, a chemical reaction, an emotion, an experience. And the Bible love is very different. According to the Bible, God is love. So if you want to know what love is, then you should study who God is. And then you will have a perfect picture, a perfect manifestation of this love. And John tells us that God has manifested his love in what? In actions. God has manifested his love by sending his only son into the world. So what is love? How am I going to love my brethren? By doing things for them. God has shown that he truly is love by sending his son, by doing something for sinners, by doing something for people. God does good. God has sent his son to save the world. He sent Jesus to be the savior of the world, says in verse 14. So, how do I know that God is love? People often complain, how can God be a loving God and allow all this suffering? God is love because he sent his son to save the world from all this suffering. He has done something. I am a big fan of Steve Jobs and Macintosh, and I was told that he rejected God because he felt, if God is so powerful, God is so loving, God is so rich, why does he not help the poor? I have no time for this kind of God. You know, Steve Jobs was pretty rich, one of the richest person in the whole world. What has he done for the poor? Ask the people working for Apple in China what he did for the poor. So, can you see, we talk about love, but we do nothing. We do not love. We talk about it, but we do not love people. God is love, and his love is true because he did something for the good of others. So how do I apply this to us, to the church? How am I going to love my brothers and sisters? By feeling something for them? No. By doing something for their good. By helping them when they need. By trying to encourage them when they are discouraged. By providing for them when they are poor. Love is practical action. It's doing good. And that's what we are called to do. But also, we see that God loves those who do not deserve to be loved. It's bad people. It's sinful people. He sent Jesus, his son, to be the propitiation for our sins. The object of the love of God are people that are causing his anger, his wrath. People that have done things that he hates. People that have been provoking him every day of their lives. And still God loves these people and sends his son to save these people. Let's apply this to the church now. How do I love the brothers and sisters? By doing good, even when my brothers and sisters are not that good. Even when they fail me, even when they upset me. I am called to be like God. He is love, and I'm called to love. And God has loved people that were not lovely. And we are called as Christians to love our brothers and sisters, even when they are not our favorite people in the world. What is that makes love so difficult? Sin. Sin within me, sin within you. That's why it's so difficult for us to love. But despite our sins, God has loved us. And we should love our brothers and sisters despite their sins. And also we should love these people by taking the initiative. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We expect to be loved before we open up and reciprocate to love. We're very scared of loving people in case they do not respond to our love. Often we want to make sure that our love is not wasted. It's easier to love people that are nice to us, that do something good for us. But John is saying, follow the example of God. Do not wait for people to come to you. But you move towards them. You go to them. Don't expect people doing good to you and then you respond to that love. No. But be ready and be willing to make the first step, to take the initiative and to love people. And this is very much the teaching of Jesus. Remember the Sermon on the Mountain. Jesus said, do not invite people that can invite you back. Do not loan your money to those who are going to give this money back to you. But love freely to those who cannot give it back to you. Be generous. Take the initiative. Do not expect from people, but you give yourself to people. Just like he did with us. He loved us first. And our love to God, if there is any or little, it is because he loved us first. He took the initiative, and so should we. But also, the love of God is a sacrificial love. It says that he gave his only son. His only son. No, and I think just now, remember when God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Remember how God made things very hard for Isaac, for Abraham. He said, take Isaac, your only son, the one you love, and give it to me. And John is saying here now, give that God has given his only son for us. So it's not simply that God has done something for us, but God has done something hard, difficult, costly to save us for our own good, for our own benefit. It was a sacrifice. And when you sacrifice something, it's costing you something. And God's sacrifice was his own son. His only son, the one in whom he is well pleased. We can't grasp how much God the Father is pleased in God the Son. We can't grasp how much God the Father loves Jesus. We have no idea. Because that love is above understanding. And yet he sacrificed that son, his only beloved son, the one who was one with him, the one in whom he was delighted, to save his own enemies. So how should we apply this to the church then? Remember, God is the pattern for us to follow. John is saying, this is love, and I want you to love. God is love, so follow the example of God. So how am I going to apply this principle of God's sacrificial love within the church? That we have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for the good of our brothers and sisters. Not for our enemies, for our family, for our spiritual family. And loving someone is costly. It might take our time, it might take our emotion, our energies, our finances, and might cost deeply, like it costed God to save us. And so we should be willing to suffer for the good of our brothers and sisters. Just like God was willing to suffer for us. So brotherly love is possible, is commanded, is described, but finally, John gives us encouragement. It gives a kind of promises. Now, if you love one another, there are advantages for you. And the first advantage is fellowship with God. In verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. God abides in us. How can God abide in me? And is John saying that my communion with God, my fellowship with God, depends on my works? It sounds a bit legalistic. It seems almost that if you do A, B will come. God is within us, if we're his children, even when we do not love one another. God's Holy Spirit doesn't leave us when we disobey God's will. But it is the enjoyment of God that changes. So it seems to me that what John is saying here is that if we love one another, then we are going to enjoy God's presence and God's fellowship in our lives. Think, for example, when Jesus speaks about going before God at the altar. I said, before you offer to God your offer, make sure that you are at peace with your brothers first. It seems almost that If you really want to enjoy the blessing of God, the favor of God, the presence of God, make sure that all is well with your brothers and sisters. God is always there. God doesn't go away. But our enjoyment of Him changes. And so we might pray a lot, we might read loads of Bible verses, but if we do not love our brothers and sisters, we won't feel affected, we won't feel the benefit. It will be going through the motions. But if we are loving one another, and then we come to God, then we really enjoy God. His presence, His fellowship, His communion. God abides in us. It becomes real. We realize that God is close to us. But also, it's not just God who abides in us. In verse 12, it says that love is perfected in us. Now, this is an apparent contradiction. God is perfect. Everything God does is perfect. How can His love for us be perfected? Is John saying that God loves us more if we love the brethren? No. Again, it's not what God does that changes. It's our enjoyment of God and what God does that changes. It means that as we are enabled by God to love our brothers and sisters, that we will enjoy more and more of God's presence and God's love. It means that the more we sacrificially love our brothers, the more we feel within us the love of God. The more we give to others, the more we enjoy what God has already given to us. The more we give love, the more love we receive. God's love is completed, is perfected in us. The more we love, the more we are aware, and the more we appreciate, and the more we enjoy the love of God. So the experience will be that the more I love the people in Sesto Calende, in this congregation, or the other Christians that God gives me to meet with, the more assured I will be that God loves me. Do you want to know more of the love of God? Do you want to know the love that passes all knowledge? Do you want to experience the love that God has for you in Christ? The same love that God the Father has for God the Son is now available for us. And the only way for us to enjoy that love is to love our brothers and sisters. Sometimes we doubt the love of God. And very often, unknowingly, the reason is that we do not practice love. And therefore, God's love is not perfected in us. But there is another encouragement, another reason why we should love one another. And that is the judgment of God. Not in the sense of punishment. But John is saying, when there is love, there is no fear of judgment. You can say people to think to people that love you. You can open up your heart to people that love you because you know that love covers multitude of sin. You can share your errors, your sins, your mistakes with people that love you because you don't expect judgment from them, but compassion. Now, sometimes, even as believers, we're afraid of death. And we are afraid of standing before God at the judgment day because we're aware of our failings, of our sins. How can we be so afraid of God when God is our Father? Love is the reason. We're not sure of God's love for us. We're not sure that God truly, fully, completely loves us. And John is saying, if you love your brothers and sisters, you will experience more of the love of God. You will be certain of the love of God for you, and you will have no fear in the day of judgment. because you will trust God 100%. Remember Paul writing to the Galatians? He speaks and he says there that faith is always accompanied by love. We trust in someone who loves us. No, we trust someone. If we are sinking, no, and someone comes to help us, that act of compassion encourages us to trust. The willingness of that person to expose himself to danger for us enables us to trust in that person. Even more with God. When we see how much God loves us, and the more we understand of his love, the easier it will be for us to trust in him. Why is it that I fear the judgment day? Because I doubt the love of God. And why do I doubt the love of God? Because I do not love my brothers and sisters the way I should. Therefore, his love is not perfected in me. It's not about creating feelings towards God. We should be doing good to one another, helping one another, supporting one another. Everything our hands finds to do for the good of our brother and sister, we should do it. And as we do this, God will honor that by showing us more of his love. The Holy Spirit, who enables us to love, will pour in our hearts the love of God. And the more we grasp this love, the happier we're going to be. Because what it is that we need most in this life? Love. What makes us happy? Gifts or the giver? When your wife buys you a present, when your children buy you a present, what is it that matters to you? Is it the present? No. Is the thought. You thought of me. You did something for me. I'm important to you. And what is it that's going to make us happy? It's the love of God, that God loves us. So we will rejoice in his gifts. But it's the fact that God thinks of us and wants our good and has everything for our good that will make us truly happy in this life. And even at the judgment day.